Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series on how to find God's will. And this is the beginning of my fourth week. I'm going to be ending this series sometime in the middle of this week. But then we're going to go right into the next set, which is complement to it, and that's how to follow God's will. This first teaching is on how to find God's will. Then we're going to talk about how to follow God's will, and then we're going to talk about how to fulfill God's will. And each one of those parts has five teachings in it. I used to have a three-part teaching on how to find God's will. I've expanded it into a five-part set, and then we're going to be doing five parts on how to follow God's will and five teachings on how to fulfill God's will. And I am really excited about this because I tell you, once you know that God has a purpose for your life and you start moving in that direction, it gives you a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose for your life. And I really have never seen anybody who's made a significant contribution, and I mean beyond themselves, and changed somebody else's life who hasn't lived with a sense of purpose or destiny. You know, there's this man named Peter Daniels, and I don't know these things personally, but I've heard other people talk about him. I've been to churches where he has been at that church, and so I've heard this from a number of different sources. But anyway, this man, Peter Daniels, when he was from Australia, I believe, and when he was in his 20s, he was a bum, a drunk, living on the street, homeless. And he just decided that his life was going in the wrong direction and he had to turn it around. And one of the things he did, he studied the lives of these people, not just religious, but secular, political people, or whatever, anybody in any field of their life who was significant and made a difference and the world was a better place because of them. He studied their lives, and out of that, he began to get his life together, and now he's a motivational speaker that gets, you know, big bucks. He's a multimillionaire, and he travels the world and ministers. But anyway, one of the quotes that I've heard attributed to him was that he read the biographies of like 2,000 effective people. And one of the things he said when he was asked, what's a common trait among every one of these people that really made a difference and a significant contribution to the world? He said a common trait among all of them was that they had a sense of destiny. They felt like that they were made, whether they were religious or non-religious. They may have attributed it to fate or whatever, but they had a sense of destiny, purpose, like they were headed towards a goal. Nobody just accidentally stumbles into something and makes a significant difference. You've got to live your life on purpose. You've got to shoot at something. You've got to aim at something. If you don't aim, you're going to, you know, if you're aiming at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. You've got to aim at something. Your life has to have a purpose. It's like a bow and arrow. You got to point and send that arrow in a certain direction. It doesn't just go on its own. And so I really believe that this teaching on how to find God's will is essential. Every single person needs this. I'm drawing to the end of that series, and what I've been talking about the last few days is that you've got to take God's Word and renew your mind with it. I ministered out of Romans 12, 1 and 2, that the first step is you become a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1. The second step is you've got to renew your mind, and that happens through the Word of God. I was talking on our program last week about how Jesus said to people who already believed on Him that He was the Messiah, He said, if you continue in My Word, then you will be My disciple indeed in truth. In other words, there are false disciples. There are people who say that they're disciples, but it's not in truth. It's not in deed. And He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He was saying that to people who already believed on Him, that they needed to be free. Just believing that Jesus is the Son of God doesn't necessarily or automatically produce freedom in your life. You have to continue in the Word. Let me just take some scriptures out of Psalms 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. You know, this is a verse that I used, one of the very first verses that I ever got hold of. I cut this out, put it on a 3x5 card and stuck it on my mirror at home. When I first made my commitment to the Lord, I was single and there was temptation. You know, that's when the drug scene was big back in the 60s. And of course, sexual temptations and temptations to just goof off and waste your life away and just everything else. And I was feeling the pull of all of this stuff and I was resisting it. And the Lord gave this verse to me. He says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And you know what? I just buried my nose in the Word and I began to study the Word. And I guarantee you, the Word changes you and it sets you free from these things. That's a powerful truth. This is awesome. You know, most people want to live a holy life. They want to live for God. I'm talking about, let me rephrase that, most Christians. Most people that have been born again and truly have a relationship with God, their desire is to live for God. But they don't do a very good job. You don't have to look very far. Most of us don't have to look any further than the end of our nose to find that we stumble and fall and we don't do the things that we want to do. And most people who are truly born again want to live for God and yet find themselves woefully short of it. And they just, it's like they can't find a handle on how to live for God. This is the answer. How do you do it? "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It's by taking heed thereunto according to thy word." If you would take the Word of God and meditate in it day and night and observe to do what's written in it, Joshua 1:8 says, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You will cleanse your ways. You will be free. Boy, this is powerful. This is so simple. A lot of people miss this because they think it has to be more than this. Most people just think that it has to be harder. It has to be complicated. It's really simple. If you were to put God's Word in front of you and meditate in it, I'm going to read some other scriptures to you, it would keep you from living in sin. You would be able to change things if we just put God's Word in our heart. Just a couple of verses down, it says in verse 11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." You know what? If you are sinning, if you are failing in some area, and it doesn't have to be the big cardinal sins, adultery or murder or lying or stealing and things like that. You know, you could be failing in your commitment to the Lord to take care of your body, to exercise, to eat right. You could be failing in loving other people and on you can go. It doesn't have to be these terrible outward sins. But if you are knowing that you're supposed to be doing good, and if you aren't doing it, to him it is sin, is what the Scripture says. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And how do you overcome that? It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Man, that's powerful. You know, again, in my own situation, I got drafted and sent to Vietnam. And in Vietnam, I was the only Christian that I know for sure that I meant while I was there. I was a chaplain's assistant, and yet some of my chaplains, I'm not sure about whether they were truly born again or not. They might have been, but they weren't outspoken and demonstrative about it. And really, the only Christians that I knew for sure that I meant in Vietnam were the ones that I led to the Lord. I mean, it was ungodliness around me. There, I could go on and talk about that, but there was all of this ungodliness, and it was just like, you know, the cold. It was like it was trying to creep in and get into my life, and there were so many times that I was tempted, but you know what kept me? God's Word. I had put God's Word in my heart. I was seeking the Word of God, and because of that, it kept me from doing these things. You know, there's just so many scriptural examples. I could teach on that for a long time. But what a great promise. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." If you are consistently failing and sin is dominating you, I mean, none of us are perfect. We aren't going to be perfect until we get our glorified body and get to heaven. And there's not going to be any more temptation and stuff. But as long as we're in this body, we aren't going to be perfect. But if you are just constantly losing and being defeated by sin, I can promise you, you haven't put God's Word in your heart. If you would put God's Word in your heart, if you would know the Word of God, not just know about it, not just let somebody quote it to you, but you know it yourself, then it would keep you from living in sin. How beneficial is that? If you're truly born again, you don't want to live in sin. But most Christians are constantly sinning and falling short because they haven't taken God's Word and put it in their heart. And that's why that's coming to pass. Let me skip over a few verses to verse 99. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, that is a tremendous passage of Scripture. And again, this was really significant to me because when the Lord touched my life, I was in my first year of college, and the very first thing God led me to do was to quit school. And according to my family and according to everything I'd ever been taught, there's no way you were ever going to prosper and get a good job and make a decent living if you quit school and didn't finish school. And I had a lot of people tell me, boy, you just are going to amount to nothing. It's never going to work. And I had a lot of guilt and condemnation coming at me. And this verse says that I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, I have studied. I just didn't do it through a secular university. But man, I have gone to Bush University and I have studied day and night for 42 years seeking the truths and the revelation of God's Word. And I can truthfully say that because I have stuck my nose in the Bible and I've studied the Word and I've done this, it has given me more understanding than all of my teachers. Well, that is a tremendous, tremendous promise. There are some of you that may feel like me, and you may feel like that you aren't the sharpest knife in the drawer. You may feel like things are stacked against you. How are you ever going to get from where you are to where you believe that you should be? It just seems an insurmountable obstacle that you can't overcome this. But I'm promising you that if you would meditate in this Word, it will exalt you and it'll give you more understanding than other people and you will prosper. Well, that's a tremendous truth. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, we're talking about how to find God's will. And this is one of the ways. It's one of the dominant, primary ways that God speaks to you is through His Word. It's like a lamp. It's like a light unto your feet. And of course, you recognize that this is back before they had torches or lanterns and things like that. This is talking about some kind of a candle or a lantern or something that they had that just cast light. And it didn't show you things, you know, that were 100 yards, 200 yards out in the in ahead of you. But instead, it just illuminated your next step. It just cast light for a short distance. And this is really descriptive of the way that God leads us. God very seldom shows you the end result and shows you everything that's going to happen. And see, there's a lot of people that miss God's will because they are saying, all right, God, I want to know exactly where I'm going. Well, God will give you enough light to show you the next few steps. And as you take those steps, then as you move, the light moves with you and you'll see the next step and the next step. This is very descriptive of the way that God leads us. God's Word is like a lamp and it just leads us step by step by step. You know, I could illustrate this so many ways in my life. I mean, there have been thousands and thousands of times that God has given me direction and shown me things, and it just comes step by step by step. You know, we've got a building program going on right now. We have outgrown our facility here, and we're trying to build an auditorium and a college campus that would accommodate at least 2,500 students. And, you know, that's a major deal. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of big things. Without me going through the whole story, let me just say that a couple of years ago, I saw that the growth, the way it was going, we were headed this direction. And so I made some interim decisions that have allowed us to accommodate up to at least 1,000 people in our school. But see, that started a couple of years ago. And I just walked in the light of what I had. And then last year, I began to start realizing that even with this interim step, that might hold us for 3 or 4 years, but we were going to outgrow that. And it depended on what we were going to do. But if we were going to build a building, well, then it takes at least 2 to 3 years and probably closer to 4 years by the time you actually get everything finished and can move in if we were going to build. And the interim steps I had made to accommodate our Colorado Springs school up until 1,000 people, it was going to only hold us for a minimum or a maximum of 4 years. And so as I contemplated all of this, I got to seeing that, man, we need to do something else. And so there was, I won't go through everything, but there was just steps that God showed me. And I called together some of the guys here in this ministry that God has supernaturally added to us. And I presented my vision and told them what I was doing. And I said, let's pray about this. What do we do? And as we discussed it, God gave us the next step. And then we went and we've bought a piece of property, and we're now in the process of raising all of the funds and building this facility up in Woodland Park, Colorado. But it wasn't just one thing that God showed me. It's God's Word is a lamp. God showed me. And somebody says, now, how did any of these things you described come from the Word? There isn't any scripture that says, go to Woodland Park and buy 157 acres. There's not a scripture that says that, but there are scriptures that talk about in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And it talks about that, you know, you need to make your decisions with the counsel of other people. So I let the Word of God influence me, and I got together some people that God has sent to me. And even though there's not a scripture that says, Andrew Womack, you shall do this, there are principles that guide and lead us in how to do things. And the Lord will show you things to come. In John chapter 16, talking about the Holy Spirit, it says that when the Holy Spirit has come, He will show you things to come. In other words, He will help you deal with the future. You don't have to wait until, you know, your future all of a sudden comes and you're unprepared for it, and it's like a train wreck. You don't know what to do. If you are listening and praying and seeking the Lord, the Word of God will begin to start showing you things. The Lord will begin to start revealing things to you. And, you know, there's just so many scriptures that God has used. The Lord used a scripture out of the book of Psalms to show me that someday I would stand before the great congregation and declare the works of the Lord. And that's talking about that there's going to be a large number of people. And through that, see, that is part of the Word preparing me and showing me that I'm going to be reaching more people, and we needed to prepare for this growth. So I could go on and talk about personal things, but see, this is how God leads you. God's Word is a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. You've got to take the Word of God and meditate in it, and God's Word will show you things to come. God will prepare you. The Word of God will reveal things to you. And it's just supernatural. It's hard for me to describe. If you haven't experienced this, it's better caught than it is taught. But you take the Word of God and you meditate in it, and God will just open the Word up and begin to speak things to you and make direct application in ways that you couldn't even imagine. Like I remember when I was studying in Matthew chapter 14, and this is where Jesus came walking to His disciples on top of the water, and His disciples saw it and they cried out, thought it was a spirit. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's I. And Peter said, Lord, if it's You, bid me come unto You on the water. And He said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. And as I was reading those scriptures in Matthew chapter 14, God spoke volumes to me and took those scriptures and applied it directly to me. I know that there's some of you watching this program that you don't understand because you haven't ever experienced this. But I tell you, God can take a scripture like that, and just all of a sudden, it's like He opens up your understanding. And those words that were written 2,000 years ago, all of a sudden, it's God talking directly to you. For instance, the Lord just showed me that the very thing that was about to drown these disciples, that was killing them, this water, it was no big deal to Jesus. He was walking on top of the very thing that was about to kill them. And it just changed my perspective because I was thinking about, oh, God, this problem is so big. I didn't say this, but in my own self, I was thinking, God, I'm not sure You can handle this. And you know what? The Lord just spoke to me through that look, I walked on top of the very thing that was about to kill those disciples. It's no big deal. And it just gave me an assurance that my problem wasn't too big for God. And then the Lord said, you're going to have to get out of the boat. And you know what? There was a tendency for me, oh, God, I could drown out there. And the Lord spoke to me and He says, what's the difference between out there and in the boat? The boat was full of water. It says it was full of water. It was about to sink. You know, if you would sit down and logically think about it, there was very little difference between being in the boat and being out on the water. But being out on the water at least was obeying God. It was taking a step of faith. You get out where the miracles happen. But see, the Lord spoke to me through those verses and said, "You're playing it too safe. You're wanting to stay in the boat. You're afraid of getting out of the safety of the natural things, but you're sinking. You know, we're afraid. We don't want to be different than everybody else. We're afraid of what are people going to think about me. But these people who are going to ridicule you for believing God, they're all sinking. They're dying. And yet we still want to identify with them." The Lord spoke volumes to me, see, through this story and applied it. And it encouraged me to get out of the boat, to step out, take the limits off God. Begin to start believing for something big. And God speaks to you through the Word. I'm just using these things to try and illustrate that you aren't going to find a scripture that says, "Jane Doe, you know, go do this." But you will find scriptures that God will use to speak to you supernaturally. In Psalms 119 and in verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." When you meditate in God's Word, again, I am at a loss of words to know how to describe this, but I've experienced it many, many times, that you just are in a negative situation, you take the Word of God and meditate on it, and it's like light comes into you. God is light. It's like God comes into you. God changes your attitude. And it says it gives understanding unto the simple. The word simple here is a word we get simpleton from. You know, a person that's not mentally stable or mentally capable. God's Word will make you smart. God's Word will teach you things. God's Word will just cause light to flood on the inside of you. I remember one time when I was in the Army. I was at Fort Hamilton underneath the Verrazano Narrows Bridge there in New York. And I had been persecuted mercilessly for being a Christian. And on a Saturday, everybody had leave and they went into New York. I stayed in the barracks and I just spent 8 hours reading the Bible. And I tell you what, when I went into that time and I started, I was very discouraged because I'd had so much criticism and things happen. By the time I spent 8 hours studying the Word, it's like light came into me. I was fired up. Man, I was excited. I was happy. I've experienced this, and I couldn't even tell you a specific thing that God spoke to me. It's just that when you're in God's Word, it causes you to be encouraged. If you're discouraged, it's because you aren't in God's Word. If you feel like you're simple and you don't have understanding, it's because you haven't let the entrance of God's Word come into you yet. And on and on and on we could go with all of these promises. You've got to know God's Word if you want to know God's will. I'm going to let our announcer share with you about how to get some of these products. I encourage you to respond. We've got a phone number on your screen. You can call and get these materials and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, "How to Find God's Will," was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled Knowing God's Word, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number
is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Durant, Oklahoma this week, July 28th through the 30th, in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th, and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 12th through the 17th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, and in Buxton, Derbyshire in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009, and since then we've been going through permit process. The plot that I'm on right now is where our buildings will sit. The view behind me of Pikes Peak is where we will be building these buildings. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes. And we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.